The supreme authority and inconceivable power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be minutely studied from this verse. He is always unlimited. That means that He has no creation or end. He is, however, death in the form of time, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, "I am death. I take away everything at the end of life." Eternal time is also without beginning, but it is the creator of all creatures. The example is given of touchstone, which creates many valuable stones and jewels, but does not decrease in power. Similarly, creation occurs many times. Everything is maintained, and after a time, everything is annihilated. But the original Creator, the Supreme Lord, remains untouched and undiminished in power. The secondary creation is made by Brahma, but Brahma is created by the Supreme Godhead. Lord Shiva annihilates the whole creation, but in the end, He is also annihilated by Vishnu. Lord Vishnu remains. In the Vedic hymns, it is stated that in the beginning there is only Vishnu, and that He alone remains at the end. An example can help us to understand the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. In the recent history of warfare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead created a Hitler, and before that, a Napoleon Bonaparte. And they each killed many living entities in war. But in the end, Bonaparte and Hitler were also killed. People are still very much interested in writing and reading books about Hitler and Bonaparte and how they killed so many people in war. Year after year, many books are published for public reading regarding Hitler's killing thousands of Jews in confinement. But no one is researching who killed Hitler and who created such a gigantic killer of human beings. The devotees of the Lord are not much interested in the study of the flickering history of the world. They are interested only in Him who is the original creator, maintainer, and annihilator. That is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Solam tonta karakalo nadir adi kridatnaya janam janena janayan marayan mrityunant kam. My dear Drupa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ever existing, but in the form of time, He is the killer of everything. He has no beginning, although He is the beginning of everything. Nor is He ever exhaustible, although everything is exhausted in due course of time. The living entities are created through the agency of the Father, and killed through the agency of death. But He is perpetually free of birth and death. The Mahavishnu Vidai Krishna Prasad Bhutaneshima Tibhakti Vedanta Swaminitinami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Kastachyadi Jitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gauravani Prachane Hare Krishna Hare Krishna dreams come true. Yes, every wasindu at the end of the chapter. Bhati dhamma dhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. So, Swayambhuta Manu is continuing his reasoning with Dhruva Maharaj why you should not be so much affected by the untimely and violent and apparently very unfair killing of your brother. You should be able to digest that internally, psychologically, emotionally, and see it in a particular way. See it in a different way from how you've been seeing it. And stop this great campaign, this great program of killing, annihilating all the actions, just wiping them out. Because one of them killed your brother, somehow you have become better able to deal with this, and much better able to deal with this. So, Swayambhuta Manu, in different ways, is reasoning and describing to Dhruva why specific reasons, solid, factual reasons, why you should not and you need not react in the way that you've been reacting. There is a higher perspective. It is the real perspective. And when you get that perspective, when you look from that perspective, then the whole situation looks very different. It looks extremely different. If one is on the material level, when these types of things happen, inevitably people think in terms of victimization. This is one big part of material consciousness. The victim syndrome. I am a victim, or you are a victim, or whoever it may be, is a victim. And when you see things from that perspective, people are being victimized, then, you become so disturbed. You become extremely disturbed. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that Hitler killing thousands of Jews in confinement, that was a long time ago. The great majority of us had not even taken birth in this lifetime at that time. But still there are some people for whom it is a huge issue. It's a very big issue, and they continue to pursue it. And they cannot turn their backs on it and move forward. Certainly they cannot turn their backs on it and move forward in God consciousness or Krishna consciousness in the terms that Swayambhuta Manu is describing here. They cannot do that at all. And they remain deeply, deeply disturbed. And still to this day, trying to locate and even sometimes locating some of the perpetrators who are now in their extremely overripe old age, those who are still living, and trying to drag them to justice. Little do they know there is this higher reality. Things are going on in different terms. And Yamaraj is waiting. And you do not need, unless you, of course, you are some sort of Kshatriya king who has to enforce law, you don't need to do Yamaraj's job. Become a little Yamaraj and locate the perpetrator and kill him. If you try and do that, if you get so much into that, then you will end up in Yamaraj's court for the same thing. So there's a higher perspective. Not a blade of grass is living without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada mentioned this specific, gave this specific example on a number of occasions, that people are being born, people are dying in different ways, some earlier, relatively earlier in their lives, some around the average time when you might expect it, some are dragging on into old age and suffering terribly before they finally die, living a life not worth living for the last so many years. It's all going on under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of how we have acted previously. So in that sense, there is no victim. This whole idea of victims and people being killed untimely and all that is really a misunderstanding, because it is someone's karma if they die at an early age in some particular way. It is all going on under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of their karma. And Sri Krishna Balaram Shishi Raya Shamsa Shishi Gorna Tai Kijai. Yeah, and there is no victim, but rather, we are the causes. We have created our own destinies. And when our destinies come, we are just getting the natural consequences of what we have done. That's all. So, in simple terms at least, if someone is killed violently in their youth, in very simple terms, it means basically they killed someone when that other person was young, and now they have to take the reaction. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as they say in the Bible, one of the things they managed to get correct. But yes, you get it. You get it, what you deserve. You are the architect of your destiny. You're the designer of your future. So when you get your future, you're the only one to either be congratulated, so to speak, or to take those unpleasant consequences, if it is to be like that. It's you. So in other words, again, a simple example. If in the past, or if now, someone walks up to you, apparently out of nowhere, just some unknown person, and just somehow it appears to just happen, someone just walks up to you and punches you in the nose, bang, and you are now feeling a victim. There I was, just minding my own business, walking down the street, and this bad person victimized me and came and punched me in the nose. But actually, that's not really how it happened, how the whole thing worked. In the past, you did the same thing. You walked up to someone and punched them in the nose. And now someone is walking up to you and punching you in the nose. If you had not punched the first person in the nose, this person would not have punched you in the nose. So in a sense, you punched yourself in the nose. Really? It sort of boils down to that. Such is karma. Such is life in the material world. So, like in this kind of situation, someone is killed, murdered, violently murdered at some younger point in their life. Ideal situation for the relatives and friends to think, victim, and we must get him. And while we're at it, we'll get some of the people that are close to him also, and just something like that. So, but no, somehow, he did something in the past, and this was to be his future. And when it is there, when you have created your destiny, when you have created your karma, then you cannot later dodge it. Quick, jump to the side, get out of the way, sidestep your karma very quickly. There's one story, little story, it's actually in a book, a sort of a materialistic book, but it's a very good point, is that there was one man who had a servant, and he sent the servant to the shop one day to get something. In the shop, the servant met death personified. He just walked into the shop and somehow bumped into death personified, who turned around and looked at him. And death personified is quite a shocking looking person. So the servant was shocked, and death looking at him made some very nasty expression, very strange expression, but nasty. And the servant got frightened and ran back to the master. And he said, you know what, I met death down in Leubazar. No, suddenly. In the shops. I met death. And it was horrible. And I don't know why, but he looked at me, then he made this expression like he was after me. He was going to get me. And it's too much. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to leave Vrindavan. I will go to my brother's house in Mathura and hide upstairs because it's too much. So off he went. And the man, the boss, he decided, this is not very good. Death is frightened by a servant. I will go and find Death and tell him what I think. Why have you done this? So he went to the shop. Sure enough, Death was still there. And the man walked up to him and said, why did you do that? How dare you? You frightened my servant. And Death said, well, I'm sorry. I just tend to frighten people. And the boss said, but then you made some strange expression. You looked at him like you were after him. Why did you do that? And Death said, yes, you know, there's a reason why I did that. He said, I was very surprised to see him here in the shop in Vrindavan, because I have an appointment with him tomorrow in his brother's house in Mathura. So you cannot escape death. You cannot escape your karma. Or as Srila Prabhupada said once, in Bengali, apparently, some sort of intricacies of Bengali language, a word which can be applied to mean forehead, can also mean destiny. Some words, as you know, have multiple meanings. So there's a saying, Prabhupada said, in Bengali, wherever you go, your forehead goes with you. You can't escape your karma. So the Lord, or rather Swayambhuvamana, is trying to get this message across to Dhruva Maharaj, who is so extremely deeply affected by the death of his brother, even though he's a devotee. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj is a devotee. He's a very great devotee, but still, somehow, this has just hit his consciousness so hard and shaken his consciousness strongly. It may happen even to a devotee. Yeah, but Sadhguru is trying to help him to understand that ultimately there's no need to blame or to speak of the whole race of yakshas. There's no need even to blame that one yaksha and go on some mission to get him. There's no need. You don't need to do that. But rather you can understand this was the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And leave it in the Lord's hands and move forward positively in Krishna consciousness. Even taking it as a positive experience, perhaps, just see how the material nature works. I must also be very fixed in Krishna consciousness, because sooner or later, in one way or another, it will come to me. And that will be really critical. What will I do? Will I do this? Will I do that? Something Krishna conscious? Will I become bewildered? That's important. So take it as a lesson, focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and don't become bewildered. Of course, the yaksha who killed him, whatever the laws of karma may be and how it will all impact on him, well, he's going to get that. Don't worry that maybe in this case Yamaraj will make a mistake and miss him and he'll get away with it. Yamaraj is very good at keeping track of people and seeing people get what they deserve. So here anyway, the point is being made, particularly that Krishna is in a transcendental position. And even though he's deathless, he's dead. Even though he's inexhaustible, he exhausts everyone. Even though he is beyond time, he is time. Like this. Therefore, he occupies this unique, very special position. And his capacity to deal with these situations is complete. He has complete capacity to deal with these situations, even though there appear to be contradictions between certain of his features and other features and some of these. But there's no real contradiction, but rather it is just part of his unlimited and incomparable nature, unique nature. In Bhagavad Gita, the 11th chapter, Lord Krishna shows the universal form. First of all, in the 10th chapter, he describes some of the features. Then Arjuna, finding the description very interesting, Arjuna says to Krishna, show me some of this, how you are like this and like that, wielders of weapons, you are Rama, fishers, you are the shark, you are the gambling of cheats and all sorts of things. You're the beginning of all and the end of all the many entities. Please show me. So Krishna shows the universal form. And in the course of doing that, he shows one aspect of the universal form, which is the Kama Rupa, the particular feature of material existence, which is time, and how it works, and what it does to people and to everything, how it destroys. So Arjuna sees that, and as we all know, when Arjuna sees that, it is devastating actually. It's not just impressive or something extraordinary. It was so devastating. It had such a tremendous impact psychologically, emotionally, even physically on him. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura says that it was like when a person has a heart attack. It's so devastating. I haven't had one. I don't know if any of you have, but we hear it's very devastating. I've met people who have survived heart attacks, and it's really quite something to go through. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says it was something like a heart attack. Arjuna was a kshatriya. He was used to seeing people killed in very dramatic ways. He had killed people in dramatic ways, cutting people's heads off, blood and gore everywhere, and people just getting smashed to pieces. So he had seen horror, a lot of horror on the battlefield. What for the average person would be deeply traumatizing. But Arjuna, he had seen it and been in the middle of it so many times. So, something which to the average person would be deeply shocking and disturbing, to him, it was not a big thing. He could just carry on unaffected. So the point is made there that because Arjuna had that sort of experience so much, when he saw this shocking feature of the universal form, the Kala Rupa, he didn't die. He didn't actually just get totally overwhelmed, too shocked, and expire on the spot. He survived, but only just. He only just survived the experience. And it had such a deep effect on him that he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. All he could think of was to offer obeisances from the front and the side and the back and the other side and the front again and again and again and again and thousands of times. Just consider if you saw something and it inspired you to offer obeisances like that, what would it have to be which might affect you so deeply? So Arjuna was extremely deeply affected. And then, as we know there in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna questions Krishna and questions himself, really. I thought you were my friend. I thought I was your friend. And we would sit together and joke and talk and friends. Just pass the time together in apparently casual ways. And even I used to think that because my family, we're the actual rulers of the planet, and you are just like sub-rulers of some district, I used to think that I was a little bit higher position than you, and I was sort of doing you a favor by being so intimate and casual. But now, look at this. I misunderstood who you were. I really, 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 really misunderstood who you were. And so then he asks, Krishna, who are you actually? Who are you? And Krishna says, Kalosmi, Lokakshayakrit, I am time. And I've come to engage everyone, which is a very cultured and nice way of saying, I have come to destroy everyone and wipe everyone out. So it's like the situation sometimes if someone has a sort of a complex personality. In some situations they do something, in another situation they may do something quite different, and you wonder, who is this person? What sort of person is this person? So Arjuna feels like that. Who are you really? Are you my friend? Or are you this devastating, overwhelming, overpowering person who's just destroying everything? Will the real Krishna please stand up? So who is the real Krishna? It's a good question. Who is the real Krishna? Is it the friend of Arjuna and the friend of all of us? Or is it that Kalarupa Krishna who's going to destroy everyone, everything, even the whole planet, ultimately, and including all of us in due course? So who is the real Krishna? Who we should really be interested in, and who should we really take seriously? Well, Dhruva Maharaj, in this position, in this situation, he is in the position, he is overwhelmed in a somewhat different way, but also a somewhat similar way to Arjuna. He's overwhelmed by that Kala Rupa, the material nature, or Krishna, via the material nature, annihilating. He's really just absorbed in that and reacting in certain ways like that. How shocked and disturbed. But actually, actually the real Krishna in ultimately is the friend Krishna. That's the real Krishna. And if Dhruva Maharaj comes to understand that that is the real Krishna, and that his hand in all these dealings ultimately is in that benevolent mood, particularly with devotees, then he'll see, but I don't need to react like this. By the Lord's arrangement, if this yaksha really deserves severe punishment, by the Lord's arrangement, he'll get it. I will not be able to do it better, do a better job of, you know, representing Yamaraj. Just let him do it. And I should carry on positively in Krishna consciousness, understanding and seeing Krishna as being my friend. And how he's doing everything in this world, even though on the material level, superficially, so many things may appear to be negative for me, but they're not really. They're not really negative. And if I can really take things in that way, then I will progress in Krishna consciousness. Actually, I'll progress very strongly in Krishna consciousness. And I'll go back to Godhead. It will all be part of what is helping me to go back to Godhead rather than something else which is just like a big impediment to everything. Yes, so people though, as Prabhupada mentions, because there's so much on the material level, Prabhupada mentions Hitler, Napoleon Bonaparte, they were expert at killing people, devised many efficient strategies, particularly Hitler, how to kill as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. Yeah. So even to this day, Hitler died. Long time ago, 65 years ago. But still, every year, there are books and television programs and all these sorts of things are going on all about Hitler. But even though Hitler and Bonaparte, even though they were so expert at killing, they got killed. When the time came, they got killed. They couldn't protect themselves. So many people couldn't protect themselves from Hitler and Bonaparte, but Hitler and Napoleon couldn't protect themselves from Krishna. Or their own karma in another sense, but Krishna is managing the situation. Prabhupada said about Mahatma Gandhi, I mean, some local people may be a little sensitive about this, but Prabhupada said, Mahatma Gandhi was such a great person, at least such a popular person. Where he went, people would gather and just chant his names, and even he complained later in his life he could not sleep because people were just outside chanting his names. So he was such a big man. But Prabhupada made a point. When his time came, through what was his name? Gadadhar? No. Thakuram?
Nathuram Godse.
Nathuram Godse. Okay. When Gandhi's time came, Prabhupada said, in one class, Prabhupada mentions, when Gandhi's time came, death simply walked up to him picked them up and threw them away. That's all. And Gandhi could not say, wait a minute. Obviously, you don't know who I am. I am Gandhi. So, go visit someone else. Can't do that. Even Gandhi could not do that. He simply came and threw them away. That's all. This is how it works. So how powerful is that person, Christian, behind the scenes? He killed Hitler, Napoleon Bonaparte. No one else could kill them. But he killed them. But people on the material platform, they're not really thinking, oh, who killed him? Who was that person? What was the shakti, what was the potency of that person? They could just wipe out Hitler just like that. And nobody even found any trace to this day. Nobody's found any trace. He just got wiped out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dhruva also needs to come to this level. Just go beyond the immediate material surface level. Come to the spiritual level. And then you'll be able to deal with it and move forward nicely, positively in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, having said that, Prabhupada did appreciate one quality of Napoleon Bonaparte. I don't know if you ever read this. Prabhupada appreciated one quality of Napoleon Bonaparte was he never slept. Prabhupada said he would go from battlefield to battlefield on the horse. He would never sleep. Sometimes he would just lean forward on the horse and sort of doze a little, but he would never sleep. And Prabhupada said, this is good quality. Be so determined to achieve your goal that not even sleeping gets in the way. Anyway, unfortunately, the man didn't help him ultimately. So let us take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj, by the mercy of Swami Mukhamanin. He's also going to do that shortly. And death will come. Just, I think it's the beginning of the next chapter. Death comes. Airplanes come from Vaikuntha. And because he really has absorbed these things, when death personified is standing in front of him, he comes and steps on the head of death and uses the head of death as a step to step into the Vaikuntha airplane. So he uses death to help him go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Shirobhati. I don't think we have time for questions, I'm afraid. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.